If I bleed tonight, if I am sad tonight, I don't have a job to find. And if I work tonight, if I'm so tired tonight, I'll fall asleep when I'm home, when I'm home. Hey everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Power Slam podcast here on Inside the Ropes. Fear no more, ladies and gentlemen. We will be here no matter what happens. It is myself, Kenny McIntosh, and Finn Martin. Finn, we are here, we are isolated, we are sanitized, and we are ready to podcast. How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right, Kenny. Yeah, I'm okay. How are you doing, more importantly? I mean, all this chaos that's unfolded since we last communicated has affected you far more than I.
Yeah, it has. It's weird because I guess it was maybe 2 weeks ago now that the days just kind of, I don't really remember when was when now, but like it must have been almost 2 weeks ago that the idea was, you know, will we be able to get Kevin Owens over for the show? We were having conversations and the idea was more of a precaution really to just be like, let's just make it. Let's just do it, you know, to be safe rather than sorry. Let's have, reschedule the show to June and that'll be fine. And that was all good. And then it escalated even more with obviously the travel ban and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, technically, you know, officially, we would be allowed to run the Kenny Omega and Trish Stratus shows as of now. But I think it would be absolutely mental for us to even try and do it. You know, there's just it would be kind of reckless towards the people who have bought tickets, people who've got health conditions. So I knew we were probably going to have to postpone or cancel, and then became the discussion of, do you postpone? Because then if you, the problem with postponing, just to put everything in the picture, is that if you postpone, you know, There's a lot of people who might want refunded, and then you're kind of stuck in a position where you still need to pay everything, but you might need to, you know, refund half the people, and then nobody's going to want to buy a ticket right now to anything because they don't believe it's going to happen. Yeah. So it became a kind of, and I mean, this is something that people don't know, is that we were, I mean, you know this, Finn, but we were set to announce something pretty big soon.
Yes.
And if we had announced that, and that went in motion, it would have been far worse than it is. But so basically, we are cancelling the Kenny Omega and Trish Stratus shows in April. Main reason for that, rather than postponing, is because we don't know how long this is going to go on. It could be 12 weeks, it could be 16 weeks. So just to be safe, we are cancelling and refunding everybody within 14 days, and then we will look to do shows with Kenny Omega and Trish Stratus in the future. But I also think it's kind of important that right now, especially when like people are being sent to work from home and people might not be able to work right now, I think that it's important to give everybody their money back in a time where, you know, if you bought a VIP ticket for Trish or Kenny Omega, you know, £100, £130, that could come in handy right now. So I think that's more important. So, I mean, to be honest, I'm losing thousands and thousands of pounds through this, but it's the right thing to do, and you kind of have to take the rough with the smooth. So all I would say, it's not a begging thing, but you know, for the next while, my main income will be through Patreon and through, you know, YouTube. So if you are able to support us on Patreon, you want some extra content, you want to listen to this early, you want to get more of me and Finn, you want to get retro stuff, whatever, patreon.com/insidetheropes. I would appreciate it if you can. If you can't, even just leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts gets us more into people's kind of visibility. Watching a YouTube video can help because, you know, obviously those videos are monetized. So I think just the main thing I want to say really, because I mean, I'm actually in an okay position compared to what a lot of other people are in. I can get through it just. You know, I've got things in place where I can get through it. There's some people who aren't as lucky. There's, you know, Brett Lauderdale, who runs Game Changer Wrestling in the States, who was, you know, promoting Joey Janela's Spring Break, and you know, he's that guy might not be able to promote wrestling anymore, because the other thing that people don't realize, and I'm aware I'm rambling on here, fans, so you'll be taking over in a second, but the thing that people don't understand is that if you have events insurance, which I have, which Brett Lauderdale has, is that the coronavirus is not covered because insurance companies are saying it is not a force majeure. So, you know, if you think that all the things that you maybe couldn't get money back from, or you'd put out that you couldn't get costs back, you just kind of have to eat those costs. And that's, and then you've also got to refund people because that's got to be the priority.
Sure.
Because the customer comes first. So there's a lot of stuff that goes into it. That's kind of where everything is. But I feel positive. I feel very lucky that I'm able to get through it. It feels like there is a kind of cruel joke that comes my way every March now for the second year in a row. But, yeah. You know, like, you need to get through it, you need to move on, and there's people in much worse positions than me. So I'm okay is the long, long answer to that.
Yeah, and we can say with absolute certainty, and there are not many things one can say with certainty right now, is that this service will continue uninterrupted. We will be here.
Every week.
You know, as long as we can speak. And I was feeling pretty rough late last week. I had to cancel a few social engagements. You know, that's hardly a big thing in this current climate that we're in. But it's like, yeah, we will be here doing the podcasts and doing everything else inside the ropes related. Absolutely. So,
and we, you know, we might need to, what might actually happen, because, you know, as we will later on in this podcast talk about SmackDown and Raw and the kind of empty arena shows and stuff, but I mean, what it might allow, which could be interesting, is for us to kind of shake up our content a little bit and do some different stuff and talk about some different stuff, because
we're going to have to.
Yeah, there's only so many times we can talk about empty arena things.
Yeah, we don't have much choice.
And I also feel for the owner of WrestleCon in Tampa, Michael, I always butcher his surname. I think it's Bochicino or something. But
I'm not going to say it out loud. I can picture his surname. I'm not going to say it out loud because I'll make a bigger mess of it than you just did.
Michael, let's just call him Michael.
Let's call him that.
Michael at WrestleCon. You know, he'd been very transparent with everyone, saying, you know, if this doesn't go ahead, it could be really bad for him. He might need to sell his house and stuff like that.
Jesus.
You know, because somebody had tweeted him or tweeted WrestleCon yesterday saying that, you know, surely you're going to be okay because, you know, it's been cancelled, so you should be able to get all your stuff back. And he actually, he screenshotted an email from somebody at the Marriott, which I guess was the Marriott was the brand with which the host hotel was going to be for WrestleCon. I just wanted to read this last bit because I think it's worth mentioning so that people understand just how bad this can be for people in wrestling events specifically. The person from the Marriott said, "I sincerely appreciate your communication today regarding your client Highspot/WrestleCon and the cancellation due to the impossibility clause of our agreement. We are respectfully in disagreement with your client's position. It is neither illegal nor impossible for WrestleCon 2020 to occur as previously agreed. I further add that Marriott International's cancellation and refund policy extends exclusion for groups booked during periods with special events restriction or peak demands. WrestleCon 2020 is a special event booked over heavy demand rates. Since our hotel is prepared to perform as agreed, your client's cancellation will cause damages to the hotel. The liquidated damages due the hotel is 80% of total revenue owed, or $114,202. Now, just to put that into sort of real terms, Donald Trump, who, you know, right, whether you agree or not, he is the president of the United States, his word carries merit. You need to listen to him, as we need to listen over here to our fucking version. But, you know, he said gatherings of 10 people or more should not happen.
Yeah.
But Marriott are not listening to the president of the country and trying to stiff WrestleCon for $114,000. Now, luckily, the wrestling world has not really accepted that. And everybody from Chris Jericho to, you know, a host of independent wrestlers, Kevin Owens, have all kind of spoken out in his defense. And I'm really glad for him because, you know, if you've ever been to WrestleCon or you've ever seen the setup of it, it is manic. And I know what it's like to do a tour with one wrestler and that's all you need to take care of. How he does what he does, I'm always kind of in awe at. So I really hope that he kind of comes out of this because, you know, nobody's fault that this stuff's happening, and it would just be a shame to see people not be able to get through the other side.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, you would think that there's a chance that the hotel chain will end up bowing to public pressure if the public put enough pressure on them, if they apply enough pressure, you would think that they would do the right thing. I mean, they might not, but you would think they would, because this is going to reflect very badly. And things like this, people remember them, don't they? I mean, that's going to impact upon your decision when you're next booking a hotel, if you've got that in your memory, that hold on, this company did this, which I did not agree with, and it sank this guy and his company. It's going to affect, which hotel chain you stay with in future. So I would think, just for in terms of customer goodwill, sending the right message and to that company and to the public at large, that we're all in this together. And as you just said, yeah, this is effectively an act of God. This is could not have been predicted. This is, no one's fault, or at least no one's fault in America that we're aware of. They're almost being penalized for it. They're being punished for it. So, I mean, I'm hoping that, cooler heads prevail here, and that the Marriott do the right thing for this company. But we will see about that.
We will, yeah, and like I say, I think this is the time where if you are able to support your favorite wrestlers or podcaster, or kind of small enterprise, if you're able to, because you might be in a tough spot yourself, but if you're able to, there is no better time than the present. I think a lot of people, including myself, would appreciate it, and even kind words are great. But the big news, obviously, that we need to talk about is WrestleMania 36 is, in fact, going ahead on April 5th,
Yes.
but not at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. Instead, going to be taking place at closed door at the Performance Center, as Raw and SmackDown will be taking place. So we're recording this on Tuesday. I mean, there's a kind of timeline from last Thursday where Vince McMahon met with the Chiefs of Tampa and a decision wasn't made. They were going to be given another week. There was rumors that they might delay the show to June or July. There was an unsubstantiated report from some thing about like that they might be doing it in Madison Square Garden in June, which I don't hold any credence to, in case you've read that. So of course they eventually announced on Monday yesterday that they were going to be doing WrestleMania closed door at the Performance Center, in front of no crowd. So I wanted to get your thoughts on the whole thing. Have they made the right decision? What decision would you have had them do instead? And yeah, just kind of unpack all your thoughts.
It's really difficult to know what to say about this. I understand why they've done what they've done, because they feel like they've set up all these matches. I mean, WrestleMania's, is it 3 weeks on Sunday? I think it is, isn't it? 3 weeks on
Two
Sunday?
weeks and Sunday.
2 weeks on Sunday. So WrestleMania, we're really close to it. We've got all these, obviously it's the part-timer show. It's Veteran Mania. So, I mean, you've got all these matches already set up with pay-per-views and TV when crowds were still allowed to attend. And I think Vince feels like he needs to present these matches. You then, I think if you, I think he's probably looked at the feasibility of not holding it. And if you cancel it or postpone it to whenever, like what you were saying with the Trish and Kenny Omega shows, how long do you leave it for? Do you run it in June? Do you run it in August? We don't know how long this is going to last. No one can know. They can't. So when do you postpone it to? And if there's still then a flight ban on people from overseas coming in, or people from out of state coming in, who knows what measures will be implemented as this thing moves forward. I do understand why they haven't postponed it, because you were then running the risk of potentially having to postpone or cancel it again. So, and also then you've got these matches, I was just saying a moment ago, that are already set up with all this TV and all these storylines and pay-per-views. So I think Vince feels like he needs to present this show. The other thing to consider is, if WrestleMania doesn't happen, how many people are likely to unsubscribe from the WWE network? I don't know what the number is, and obviously Vince can't know either. And people, I think, would do. Obviously we are all supposed to be in this together, we're all supposed to be supporting each other. But I mean, go to any supermarket right now, and you'll see that there's a lot of people who are not in this together with all of us, who are just in it for themselves with all the panic buying. So I can understand why he's wanting to run WrestleMania on that date, because all these matches are set up, all these part-time players who are presumably will still be paid huge sums of money are available and will participate, and it means that he can present the show. It's going to be very strange watching it, just as it was very weird watching SmackDown and Raw over the last week. We will discuss them shortly. So it's going to be very peculiar seeing WrestleMania play out in that setting, but I do understand why he's done it, because had he postponed it, I think the consequences would have been really quite severe for his company.
Let me ask a devil's advocate question. I'm kind of with you. Like, the more that I thought about it, I didn't really see a way that they could have delayed it, because a question that a lot of people have asked, which is fair to ask, is, you know, well, you know, they could have just stopped doing programming for 3 months, but they can't do that because they've got $1 billion TV deals that they need to provide content to, and whether we like it or not, like, if they were to do complete archive shows, that could breach their contract.
Absolutely.
Of what they're supposed to do. So, but I guess my question to you would be, for the people who say they could have left it 3 months, or they could have kept storylines going, but kept the storylines for those matches going and waited to do it down the line, do you think that was a possibility, or did they kind of have to, did they have to do it on April 5th in some form, in your eyes?
Well, I mean, they could have done that. I mean, you know, so many things here are conceivable that, you know, The Undertaker would have been available in June, July or August, had Will Goldberg. Cena right now, he's got to be concerned. Fast 9 movie that's supposed to be coming out, I think it was supposed to be released in May, wasn't it? Cinemas are closing. So presumably...
Well, that movie's now been pushed back for 1 year.
For 1 year. Yeah. Okay. So that movie's been delayed for a year. So who knows what's going to happen in Hollywood in the movie biz right now? I mean, you know, Cena may be eyeing a return to wrestling. I mean, please no. But I mean, you know, think about it. There's lots of movies that filming, they've have shut down on various movies. I read that the next Mission Impossible movie, filming has been suspended on that, or at least it was for a while. Because... you know, if it's an international movie and lots of, you know, these movies have huge crews and they're having to send people home because, hey, they might not be able to get home if they don't go home now. And, you know, just all these different responsibilities that large film companies have. And we're in this situation now where we don't know what's going to happen with the movie biz. And there's obviously massive amounts of money invested into each one of these, you know, big budget blockbuster films. So, I mean, possibly Cena would have been available in August, but Vince doesn't know that because filming may have resumed by then. I'm not saying that this will be over by August, but it may be normalized by then. And whatever happens, we're going to have to find a way to function as a society, aren't we, long term. If this drags on for months and months and months, we're still going to have to do normal things. I don't mean going to pubs, but just normal everyday things like paying our gas bills or, you know, going food shopping or all these different things. There's lots of things we're going to have to do that are going to involve some limited form of social interaction. So, I mean, as far as planning for the future goes, it's really hard to know how long to leave it, how long these people are going to be available. Yes, they might be available in August, and then they might not, because filming might be back up and running again by then, and Cena may be on a film set somewhere in, you know, who knows, somewhere in South America or Australia. Who knows, he may not be available to have that match with The Fiend. So I do understand why Vince wants to have it now, because TV hype has already taken place. Storylines have all been written to peak at April and April 5th. So I do understand why he wants this to take place, because if it doesn't take place then, you're then facing a lot of unknowns. We obviously don't know what's going to happen, but he can present this show from the Performance Center on April 5th with all the cast of characters that are currently announced, assuming none of them contract the coronavirus between now and April 5th, which, and that's always a possibility. But as long as they don't, he can present those matches on that date and stream a live pay-per-view to his current audience. So I do understand why he's done it. And I don't think it's, this decision has been taken lightly. And I think if I was in his shoes, I would have done the same thing.
I mean, I do, before we talk a little bit more about it, I do want to give you a chance to offer some well wishes to Tom Hanks, who's contracted the virus in Australia.
Yeah, well, absolutely. No, I mean, in all seriousness, I mean, I hope he recovers and everything. And, you know, anyone who's got this virus, I, you know, hope they recover, and I hope it's not too. I mean, some people have reported that it's not actually that bad. And then other people have said it's really painful, like awful cough and really sore throat, and it's affecting the sleep and it's just really painful. So my absolute best wishes go to Tom Hanks and his missus, you know, speedy recovery to you both.
It's a weird situation.
Please don't do another Forrest Gump movie.
Well, he's. Did you hear that he was in Australia because he was going to be doing a Baz Luhrmann movie where he plays Tom Parker, Elvis Presley's manager?
Oh wow! Well, that actually does sound like it's got a lot of potential, because Tom Parker was supposed to be an unbelievable scumbag, wasn't he? Well, he was, wasn't he? Elvis's manager was just,
yeah.
For every, I don't think I've ever, you know, I've watched many documentaries and read much about Elvis. And Tom Parker, I don't think has ever come out of any of them well. So that's very much against type. And he's about as far away from Forrest Gump as I think one could go on screen. So congratulations to Tom Hanks, and I will, maybe we'll be watching the movie.
But yeah, I mean, do you feel like, so let's, for example, let's say that July 1st, let's say July 1st is when, you know, there's mass gatherings again. But I should mention that the reason that we are still going forward with Kevin Owens for our show on June 5th is because it is a gathering of under 500 people, and we are hopeful that by that point we will be allowed to do a gathering of under 500 people by June 5th. But we're going to monitor that closely, and obviously we wouldn't leave it until the week before if we needed to make any changes to that. So,
yeah,
you know, that's just something that we're having to monitor, and, you know, you'll be taken care of. So just give us to the beginning of May to kind of see where things are. Hopefully things are on the mend. But say July 1st was the date that WWE can start going back to venues. Say, you know, April, May and June are all, you know, going to be performance center lockdown shows.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the specifics of what actually happened on SmackDown and Raw later, but just generally, is there anything that you would have them do differently in how they are presenting these shows that would make it easier for the audience to watch? Or do you think it's just something we kind of have to get used to, and that is the best way to present it?
Well, I don't really want to watch any more reruns of like the Men's Royal Rumble match or the Elimination Chamber Tag Team match, which seem to suck up like nearly half of SmackDown and a very large portion of Raw. So, I mean, this is Orlando, Florida. A huge percentage of the WWE crew lives in the area. So I don't think they're going to be stuck for talent to appear on these shows. So I'm kind of confused as to why there was not more original content on these shows.
Do you think it's because they think that it's quite jarring to watch, you know, 2 to 3 hours of empty arena wrestling kind of in succession?
Well, yeah, possibly, yeah. But it's like, I think they could do more backstage stuff. I think this week it would have been nice maybe to have the talent record messages for the public. That would have been a nice thing to do. I think they should do more experimental stuff, I think, right now, than showing matches that the people who are going to be spending money on WrestleMania have already seen. So I think they should really be trying a bit harder than they did on Raw and SmackDown this week. I understand that this has been a very trying week for WWE. They've had a lot on. This must be chaos up there right now as they're trying to work out and plan ahead and plot and strategize for what may or may not happen. You know, like what you were saying about the Kevin Owens show. You know, hopefully everything will be back up and running by then. But, I mean, you know, we don't know if it will be. And WWE they're planning, like, even though the booking doesn't, there's no indication from the booking that they're really thinking ahead. They're certainly thinking ahead when it comes to planning events. So they're right now going to be working out, trying to work out, you know, what to do. And they've obviously then got to sort out everyone's travel and things like that. There's loads of things involved in the process of actually putting a live event two in business together. And they'll be having to cancel so much of that. So, I mean, we've got to give WWE some slack for this week's Raw and SmackDown. But I think starting with this Friday's SmackDown and next week's Raw, I think these should be doing more original content, not necessarily matches, because as you say, it's a bit weird watching them in front of an empty arena. You know, maybe they need to bring back the fake crowd noise machine, Kenny. You know, that one, just turn it up. You know, so they need to
would you change, because obviously in the performance center, the way they're doing it is like, you know, 250 seats sat out that are empty. Do you think that's the best visual way to do it, or would you prefer to watch it without empty seats with the illusion that there should be an audience? Like, is there anything different visually that would make that more appealing, or do you think it doesn't really matter?
Well, what they could do there is, we're talking about social distancing right now, that we've got to stay like at least 2 meters away from other people when we're on the street. That's what they're advising us to do. So they could put some people in that venue, couldn't they?
Well, I was wondering if there's not an idea. I mean, I don't know if you can. I know they're saying that you have to do very small, small events, but could you not get 50 people who you screen and you test and
exactly
they're okay and you can have them? I mean, because there's a thing, I don't know if they're doing it everywhere, but there's a thing apparently in Glasgow where if you go to the cinema, like if you go to Cineworld and see a movie, like they're making people have like an empty row between certain people, like so like you have to be like 3 seats away from someone, you have to be at least one row away from somebody. So I mean, there's ways to do it, you know. Look, I've had a couple of shows before that haven't sold very well, and see, when you remove a couple of rows, things look a lot busier. And that's just for aesthetic. So
yeah.
Now that it's actual for, you know, health reasons, I could help you with that. Bring me in for logistics.
I mean, you know, they just need to give like Impact Wrestling a ring. Like, you know, you've been putting shows on with no one in the venue for ages. How do you handle it? You know, so no, in all seriousness, I mean, they could do that. Yeah, they could keep people like 2 seats apart, 3 seats. They could put some people in the audience. I don't know. Maybe, you know, there's a lot of people who work for WWE who actually could pose as fans, who may very well be fans, and actually would respond in the right way. So they could do that. I understand. I mean, it's really difficult, and hopefully no one will think that I'm saying that I know more than anyone else, because I certainly don't. I'm just giving my opinion here. And it's a very changing situation that we're in. Everyone knows this. I'm hopefully not coming across as sanctimonious person who thinks he knows it all. It's very difficult right now. And whatever you do, there's going to be consequences. And if you do this, then people will say, well, you can't do this because that could have those ramifications. And I understand that. And ultimately, it's all about trying to prevent the spread of this virus. So if they think, listen, we can't put anyone in the venue because it's not worth it, then I absolutely understand that. Probably they're taking scientific advice, and if that's what they're being advised, then that's what they should do. Certainly you shouldn't be listening to me and say, oh yeah, we'll do this because so we have some crowd heat. You know, I mean, it doesn't really matter. And I think in the space of a few weeks, Kenny, if this becomes normal, where they're running these events in the performance center for the next sort of 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 2 months, 3 months, whatever, then very quickly this will become normalized. And it won't seem weird. And it's just because it seems so weird because we've never seen anything like this before. That's why it seems so weird on SmackDown and Raw this week. I actually thought on SmackDown, the Bayley and Sasha Banks versus Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross match didn't really bother me that much that there was no fans there. And I thought Michael Cole and Triple H were right on commentary, really, you know, really making some noise there and providing the noise instead of the audience. So I think in time we won't really mind so much that there's no audience there, because we'll accept that this is what needs to happen. And if this is the advice they're getting, and obviously it is, otherwise they would have fans there, then that's what they should do.
You brought up Impact Wrestling there. I did have a note to bring this up because I wanted to make sure that we are not always just, you know, talking about how they don't draw any fans or anything. But Ethan Page, the one half of the Impact Tag Team Champions, he actually tweeted out, I think it was yesterday, where he said, because obviously Impact have announced that they are postponing their lockdown, the lockdown pay-per-view at the end of the month, and then the tapings the day after. And Ethan Page had said, wanted everyone to know that Impact Wrestling is paying the per-day talent for the cancelled events happening at the end of March, just in case the sheets want a heartwarming story instead of assuming the worst. Thanks to Ed Nordam and Scott D'Amore, my family appreciate it. So a nice note that they are taking care of the talent for the dates that they can't make out with their control.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, I was, you know, that was a bit of a cheap shot there. I mean, I'm a fan of Impact Wrestling, as people know, and I think that's a really good sign. Just hopefully something that other companies that can afford it. I understand if a company can't afford to emulate that. I understand that, you know, if the money is not there, the money has to come from somewhere for everything in life. So I understand that some companies won't be able to afford to do that. But I think if wrestling companies can, then they should do.
Yeah, 100%.
They absolutely shouldn't support the talent. So, I mean, you know, good on Impact Wrestling for doing that.
But yeah, so I mean, that's kind of, I'm trying to think if there's anything else that we need to talk about the, I should mention CM Punk put a tweet out that I thought was very funny, where he said, well, that's one way to make sure Roman finally gets not booed and nobody chants for me. And I did have a thought, actually, when I was thinking about, you know, we sat on Patreon and sort of despaired about the result of Super Showdown,
yeah,
where Goldberg defeated The Fiend. And the irony, the cruel irony of the coronavirus is that Goldberg only beat The Fiend so that Roman Reigns would not get booed at WrestleMania. And now, it doesn't even fucking matter. So, it was all for nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was no guarantees there. I was thinking about that a lot. It's like, okay, so your plan here is to make this guy champion. Fans are going to really hate that outcome. And then we're going to bring this guy in who's been booed for years, but actually hasn't been booed so much over the last year because we haven't had him in a featured spot. And we're going to pit him against this guy who's even less popular than he is in the hope that fans will cheer him. And I'm not sure it would have worked. I'm really not sure it would have worked anyway, because when they had that confrontation the night after Super Showdown, it didn't feel to me like there was a huge amount of support for Roman Reigns. And that comment Roman Reigns on SmackDown made on Friday, he's got the sit-down interview with Michael Cole. And on Goldberg, Roman Reigns said, he's a part-timer, man, and we just don't have time for that here. You're thinking, is he joking? No, because Roman Reigns doesn't do comedy. He doesn't do humour. And he was just deadly serious. And I mean, I know Roman Reigns, he's supposed to be a nice guy, but he doesn't really come across like a guy who's got a lot of humility and, you know, a guy that's really got a sense of humour and that can really make fun of himself. And at times like that, you know, there are times as a wrestler when you have to be able to do that. And I just thought, who's giving him that line? And I just wrote it down. I thought, that's even more insane than I thought it was. There was talk, and the line of questioning from Michael Cole was, you know, how, you know, people are saying that you don't deserve this title match. It's like, well, hold on a minute. You know, you've just given a title match to Goldberg, who we hadn't seen since SummerSlam. He's just waltzed in and defeated The Fiend. So you've given him a title match, and now you're accusing Roman Reigns of not deserving a title match after you've just given the title match and a title to a guy who definitely didn't deserve it. So that level of consistency and continuity here is, it's just a muddled mess, Kenny, in my opinion.
You were going to say shit show, but you thought better of it at the last second.
I thought better of it, but it's just muddled. It just doesn't make any sense. There's no, it's just this big jumbled mess of ideas all thrown together and with no sort of long-term plan. And to me, to get Roman Reigns over as a babyface, I don't know whether it's even possible, but that was their grand plan with Goldberg. I think even if it had taken place in front of an audience, I think both of them would have been booed. Goldberg probably worse.
But now, I think, now he can be cheered.
Who by? There's not going to be anyone there.
Yeah, that's true. I think that's kind of everything about WrestleMania being cancelled that we can really talk about. There's not really much else we can do. I mean,
think she just mentioned the Hall of Fame and all other related events have cancelled as well, right?
Yes, they've cancelled Raw and SmackDown. They've cancelled TakeOver. There was a rumor thing. So apparently there's the idea that the Hall of Fame might take place. I mean, in actuality, if you think about it, if you get an empty arena, this might be the place to do this. They might do the Hall of Fame induction ceremony, like, and have the speeches air on Raw and SmackDown over WrestleMania weekend. You know, whether it's the Friday before or the Monday after, because if they've got the performance center there, they might just do it anyway.
Yeah.
So I think it was Pat LaPrade who is famously wrote he's co-wrote a book on Andre the Giant that comes out soon. So he had said that he'd heard that was an idea. I don't think that TakeOver is happening. I think they might do the NXT the week before WrestleMania might have some matches that would have been on TakeOver on that show.
Okay.
But I don't know. I'd put it this way, they're definitely not, you know, all the events at the Amalie Arena have been cancelled. So
yeah.
I guess watch this space. I mean, what we'll probably do is, what I'll do is next week before we're about to record, I will try and put out something of a kind of Q&A. So if you have questions for me and Finn that we didn't get to on this or more that you want us to talk about, and I'm sure there might be more information out by then we can definitely try and tackle that as well.
Yeah, I mean, regarding the Hall of Fame, I mean, Jushin Liger, I mean, he wouldn't have been allowed to fly in, would he?
No.
He'd been announced, hadn't he, on... When was he announced? He was announced very recently.
He was announced via Tokyo Sports yesterday.
Okay. So, I mean, he wouldn't have been allowed and won't be allowed to fly in. So, at least I don't think he will. They have issued a ban on them, people coming in from Japan. I think they have.
I'm sure they have. I'm sure they've initiated quite a lot of bans.
Okay.
So we'll come back to that. I should mention AEW are also going to be doing closed shows, I think, at Daily's Place or whatever it's called in Jacksonville, where they did their New Year's Day show. And it's just not really much else they can do. Again, it's like if you're AEW and they got this great TV deal, then you kind of have to keep doing the shows.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see if AEW's sort of closed door presentation, if it looks any different to the way that WWE are doing it. But like you say, I mean, I think that in some ways, you know, this is the period where you can get really creative with your television if you choose to. You know, especially
absolutely.
If they've got the Exalted one being sort of unveiled tomorrow night as we record this, or if they've got Matt Hardy coming in. Like, I mean, Matt Hardy, you could record half an hour every week of just him doing stuff. It's compound.
Absolutely. I mean, the thing is right now, I mean, no one's really going to be that bothered about ratings because inevitably they're going to be down. So why not try some crazy stuff? Why not do something that you ordinarily wouldn't just to see if it works and give some talent who wouldn't have a chance otherwise a shot? I mean, obviously, there's no audience for them to get over in front of, but there is a TV. There's a viewing audience, no live audience to... you know, gauge whether or not they're provoking a response from the paying audience, but there is a viewing audience. Why not try? It doesn't really matter at the moment because your ratings are going to be poor anyway. I haven't seen the numbers for Raw this week, but I mean, I imagine they're going to be way down. One would think. I mean, I know...
SmackDown was up. I think that was a curiosity thing.
Okay.
Maybe. Because, yeah, SmackDown was like 2.588 million, but I don't know what Raw's number is. Okay. I guess we'll see.
But I mean, try these different things. Why not? What have you got to lose? And absolutely with AEW, I mean, they need to do this as well. They need to continue providing the programming.
One's got to believe that they, you know, Double or Nothing coming up in Vegas at the MGM Grand at the end of May, that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, I think Vegas effectively shut down? I think lots of parts of Vegas have shut down, haven't they? So, yeah, I mean, they're not going to be able to present it in front of an audience, you wouldn't think. So, I mean, why would they? And you would think as well, it's far enough away that they can postpone that and just refund people their money. So, and it's not like, I mean, I know they have started working towards that show, but it's not like it's in 2 or 3 weeks' time. So, you know, I think absolutely can, and I'm sure will be postponed.
I know the thing is, if we'll know in a couple of weeks the way shows play out, if there is kind of, not as much to talk about, which, means that there's other stuff that we can do. I saw a thing earlier today that I was kind of putting the back of my mind that, like, I think Impact have put up the full first ever TNA show from like 2002 that's on their YouTube channel, and there's different stuff that we could watch that could promote good discussions that we can have. So we will be asking you guys what you want us to do if more time becomes available, and we're a very interactive podcast fan. We want to give the people what they want.
Absolutely, that's what this podcast's all about.
Speaking of giving people what they want, we obviously have to get Finn's opinion on John Cena and SmackDown. SmackDown overall, so SmackDown opened with Triple H kind of welcoming us to this weird broadcast. He was on commentary with Michael Cole, which was initially supposed to be for the first match, but ended up being the whole night. As you mentioned earlier, they did show the eliminate, well, parts of most of the Elimination Chamber tag team match from the pay-per-view. Let's just delve into the show. I mean, you said it earlier. I've got to agree with you. I thought Triple H was an absolute riot in commentary, and it was fun.
Oh, he was hilarious. I mean, he really was. You know, it's just like, what did he say? I'm the only man in the history of the world that could get demoted and get busier. So that was really funny. I mean, at one point they had Mojo Rawley there to sort of announce that, is it Rob Gronkowski? That's how you
Yeah, that's right,
pronounce
yeah.
it. You know, he was there, and Mojo must have been told to act ridiculous, and so much that he ended up like knocking his headset off. And I mean, that outfit that Mojo was wearing, I mean, it was worth watching this segment just for that outfit, wasn't it?
It was something.
Reminded me of the guy from, I'm a big fan of that Million Dollar List in New York. Have you ever seen that show, Kenny?
I've not. What's that show about?
It's all about real estate sellers in New York City who sell properties that are valued at $1 million or more. And there's one of the guys on there. He's really funny. He wears some outrageous outfits. So Mojo kind of reminded me a little bit of him. But that was really funny. And he got so animated that he knocked his headset off, and then he ended up roughing Michael Cole up a little bit. And I mean, that was just really funny. It looked like they were having a real laugh there. It looked like they were having a really good time. So, I mean, what was that comment made about Triple H said to Michael Cole about commentary? He said, oh, that was it. Quite honestly, because he's commentating on the first match between Bayley and Sasha Banks and Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss. And then Michael Cole says, well, you're really busy, Triple H, so you need to go. And he's
And
like,
then
oh, yeah.
Cole does that with Roman Reigns, but then when it comes back from break, Triple H is back again.
Triple H is back again. That's right. He says, well, you're obviously not busy because you're back here again. And he says, I'm the only man in the history of the world that could get demoted and get busier. So that was really funny. It was just really good banter. It just felt spontaneous and just like as if it was sort of loose and not scripted. And the difference between this and those scripted promos, and I'm sorry, but whenever I think of a badly scripted promo that's poorly delivered, the only person I can think of is Natalia. It's the first person that leaps to mind. And I'm sorry because I do pick on her a lot. But my God, the difference, the contrast between, the verbiage here between Triple H and Michael Cole and everything that most people say, including Natalia, on promos in WWE. It's like, oh. But Triple H, yeah, he said after the first match, that's it. I'm withdrawing from the announce desk. He said, quite honestly, I'm not very good at this part of it. Wrestling, as in commentary. So I'm going to leave it to you, even though, I mean, a lot of people think you're not very good at it. He's like, so get up with it, Michael Cole. And like later on in the Jeff Hardy versus King Corbin match, Jeff Hardy did a movie which they referred to as the Twist of Fury, which is that a new name for the Twist of Fate, Kenny? I think it
I
is,
think
isn't
it
it?
is a new name. I know that I think there was something, I don't have it in front of me. I'm sure there was something where somebody tweeted Matt Hardy, like that maybe he owns the term the Twist of Fate.
Okay.
So like that's why it's now called the Twist of Fury. But I could be wrong on that.
Yeah, so Jeff Hardy did the Twist of Fury on King Corbin, and Triple H just goes, what a maneuver! And he was just taking the piss. He did at one point impersonated Vince McMahon on the commentary desk, but just say, what a maneuver. And he was just like a shot of Vince McMahon. It was just him ribbing Vince
It was
McMahon and
great.
just having a laugh and just just making it into an entertaining, like, you know, obviously you couldn't do this every week because it would just get too silly and nothing would really get over. So, but just as a, you know, a departure from the norm, I thought this was a barrel of laughs, and I thought they were great together on commentary. I mean, contrast Triple H and Michael Cole on SmackDown with Byron Saxton, Jerry Lawler, who had a terrible night on Raw. I mean, he was awful.
Lawler was told one thing when he came out for commentary. They were like, your job is to remind us that Stone Cold Steve Austin is on the show.
Yeah.
And boy, did he. Every available opportunity.
I mean, it was just dire. So, I mean, yeah, I enjoyed the commentary. And I actually thought that SmackDown was all right. I mean, it was, you know, apart from, you know, the Elimination Chamber match, which I didn't really want to sit through again, but, you know, we've kind of covered why they've been including this, because they want to show some matches that have got some crowd noise, you know?
I mean, the tag match to open the show with Sasha and Bayley beating Alexa and Nikki Cross, I mean, it was fine. It was very jarring. Very jarring to see it without a crowd. And I think that we're going to see over the next kind of few months the people who really are able to connect, whether an audience is there or not.
Yeah.
You know, we saw that with Edge on Raw. Edge's promo was just like, he didn't need anybody in that room. He could just do the promo to the camera, to the people at home, and convey the message that he needed to put across.
Yeah. But
there's going to be some people who maybe aren't used to doing that, and it might sink or swim, and that could be kind of the terror or the enjoyment of the next few months. So I thought this match was pretty jarring to get through, but I think that you've got to give them a pass for the first time that you do something like this. I think you kind of have to give people a pass because it's so weird. But that was my thought.
Nikki Cross was funny when she was trying to pump up the non-existent crowd with Chance Lexi. I mean, that was amusing, wasn't it? So that was acknowledged by Cole and Triple H. I mean, they found that hilarious, you know, because they were allowed to, you know, they were allowed to have fun on commentary. It wasn't, you know, this rigid, regimented sort of, you know, draconian, you get out of line and you'll be yelled at through your headset. It was very different to that on SmackDown, obviously, just from the content of their commentary. One thing we should just mention was, you know, Triple H opened the show from a deserted performance center. And he said, this show will be different from anything you have ever seen before. So sit back, relax. And if you can, forget about the world around you and let WWE do what we do. Let us put a smile on your face. Welcome to Friday Night SmackDown. No mention on the show of the coronavirus. You know, it kind of reminds me, you know, how people aren't allowed to say on WWE TV that someone's been taken to hospital. It has to
medical facility.
Facility. And it kind of reminded me of that. And it's just like, you know, it's like, well, just acknowledge it. You only got to say it once, but they didn't mention it a single time in the entire program.
Yeah. It's a bit, so...
it's just like, it's going on. Just acknowledge it.
But we were talking about this off air, but I think the idea is that they just probably don't want to say it because they don't want to get into it. You know, they just kind of want to, you know, it's a weird thing. I mean, everybody knows that the coronavirus is going on. I mean, I try to not talk about the coronavirus so much because I end up making jokes because that's where my comfort level comes in. But then you forget that not everybody wants you to do that.
Well, of course they don't. It's serious business, isn't it?
I mean, I still think they are missing a trick if they don't have WrestleMania open with Vince McMahon in his office with a bottle of Corona. But that's, you know, that's just my sense of humour. We then got Roman Reigns coming out and doing the interview with Michael Cole. Like, you kind of touched on this earlier, but the whole idea was that Cole was asking him about, you know, the critics who say you don't deserve this, and he kind of talks about why he did, and he came back from, you know, he came back as soon as he could, he works hard, he's not going to take a backseat to anyone. Cole said that Goldberg said he was going to bulldoze Reigns, and Reigns kind of says, you know, Goldberg's a part-timer, they don't have time for that, he's the guy who main events in Youngstown, Ohio, he main events all the time, why shouldn't he be able to main event WrestleMania? He's going to bust Goldberg, he busts his ass week in, week out, he's going to kick Goldberg's ass at WrestleMania. I like the intensity of the promo that Reigns had. I think the problem is that you're telling us that it's not the part-timer show when the main event segment is John Cena and the main Raw matches, apart from Becky and Shayna, are involving Brock Lesnar and Edge, which I don't have a problem with part-timers, but I think to frame it as this, there's a lot of kind of shoot elements they tried to work in on this show, and I think that the issue was that they when you put them together, they don't really make sense. And that was the issue.
That's it. It's a contradiction. And it's just, don't do that. Stop treating us like morons and fools.
Because you can't have Roman Reigns come out here and say, Goldberg's a part-timer, we don't have time for this, it's about everyone who's here every night. And then have John Cena come out and go, I'm here for the future, for the Ciampas, the McIntyres, and the Dreams, not for Bray Wyatt, who's on his sixth chance as the most overhyped guy in the company. I'm like, what?
I mean, what can you say? I mean, why? I mean, it's just all these conflicting messages. I've just found it just bizarre.
Like one of them would have worked okay, but the problem with doing the two of them is they almost like cancel each other out.
Yes, that's right. And this whole show, SmackDown, was built around John Cena's appearance in the main event slot, in the last segment of the show, just as Raw was built around Steve Austin and The Undertaker. So we've got Roman Reigns saying one thing and WWE doing the reverse, the exact opposite. I just think it makes them look like idiots. I don't know why they do it.
Well, in the most underwhelming return of all time, Jeff Hardy is back. He ends up having a match. I'll just talk about it now. He ends up having a match with Baron Corbin.
Hold on a minute, Kenny. What about that tan? What about that tan he was sporting?
It's a great tan. God bless him. But yeah, it's just a shame because like Jeff Hardy is such a star, and he turns up here, and then you know, he comes out to the Hardy Boys music, and faces Corbin, and obviously he beats Corbin because why would he not? And he beats him like 2.5 minutes. Elias is on commentary. You know, they had a backstage segment earlier, so Elias and Corbin are kind of in a feud, and Hardy just kind of got a win. But it kind of feels like, what does Jeff do? Is Jeff going to be on WrestleMania? What would he do? I think that the reintroduction of people almost shouldn't have happened in this environment because it's just very weird.
Yeah, I mean, we had King Corbin, who was in this long-running feud with Roman Reigns, who is going to be the next Universal Champion, obviously. And King Corbin then loses to Jeff Hardy, who's been off for, was it like best part, 9 months? And the match wasn't very good. I mean, it was, in fact, the match was a poor match, I thought. I mean, the highlight of it was Triple H yelling out, what a manoeuvre. So yeah, at the end, Corbin, Elias is at the announce desk. Corbin's in the ring. Elias gets up, strums his guitar. And strangely, this distracted Corbin, but not Jeff Hardy. So Jeff hits the twist of fury, you know, which, you know, I guess bass kind of sounds a bit like Fist of Fury, doesn't it? The Bruce Lee movie. Twist of fury and then the Swanton. And Corbin just lays down for the three. And like, this is a guy who pushed Roman Reigns to the limit. And he's doing the job in 2.5 minutes to Jeff Hardy in this, you know, just match that's just so not even mediocre. It's just like a pretty dire match, really. All because Elias is distracted him with a guitar ringside. It just seemed to me like almost like a parody of pro wrestling, like some kind of, I don't even know what the point of this was. Who got over here?
Jeff Hardy was used to get over the Elias and Corbin feuds.
Well, presumably. But who cares about that? And that's for Corbin to go from a Reigns feud. And like, okay, that lasted too long. Absolutely it did. But I thought they had a really good match at Royal Rumble. I mean, that was a match that people said, well, this feud's been going on too long. And the crowd was really into it. It's a very entertaining match. Very competitive. I thought Corbin really looked good in that match. And then he's doing the job here and his next feud's with Elias, which is a second match program. I mean, probably the most notable thing in this match, I guess, was Jeff Hardy's tattoos, Triple H's What a Maneuver. Jeff Hardy's tan and Jeff Hardy's new back tattoos. He took his top off. You see the tattoos on his back. I mean, he's been busy in his time off, Kenny, getting those tattoos done.
He's an interesting individual, is our Jeff. But he is back.
We should just mention, actually, backstage to set this match up, Hardy was there, he said, he'd done much searching of the soul when he's off, and that he claimed that he had a lot more to do here in WWE. And then Corbin turned up and like alluded to Hardy's losing battle with sobriety and mentioned him failing field sobriety tests and what have you. And then that led to Hardy saying, well, we've got a match tonight, blah, blah, blah. And in the end, Hardy did get the last laugh because he won the match, but just felt to me like this could have been a longer match, and it could have been a good match, and it should have been a good match that did more for both men than it did.
Yeah, agreed. I don't want to say I called it, but last week I did say that the potential might be that we get Daniel Bryan and Sami Zayn for the IC title at WrestleMania. It seems that could be the direction, because we've got a backstage segment kind of setting up. It set up Daniel Bryan and Cesaro, with Daniel Bryan saying that he wants to learn from Drew Gulak, and then Cesaro, Nakamura, and Zayn came in, and that set us up. Bryan got the win over Cesaro, and then Nakamura and Zayn ended up coming in and beating up Bryan and Gulak. So, I mean, it's a continuation of the Bryan and Gulak story, and it's given Bryan something to do with Sami Zayn and his crew. So, I mean, it's decent. It's not blowaway stuff. It's not something I'm going to call somebody and say, you need to watch SmackDown right now for, but I think it's logical and it's decent storytelling. And, you know, I think Zayn and Bryan in an empty arena, they're probably two guys who could do that pretty well and make it work.
Yeah, I agree. And Daniel Bryan, it's a continuation of what happened at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, where, you know, Bryan was, you know, selling awe of Gulak's ability to out-wrestle him and out-strategize him and, you know, his brilliant technical skills. And even though Bryan won the match at Elimination Chamber, here at SmackDown, he said to Drew Gulak, you know, that he was really impressed by his performance and wanted to learn from him. And Drew's there and he's like, you know, he's undecided, conflicted, what do we do here? And then Sami Zayn and Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura turn up and they insult both, and they basically decide to form a team. And it's, you know, Bryan challenges Cesaro, so that match happens, and Drew Gulak's at ringside in Daniel Bryan's corner. So they are effectively now a united force, which is what I asked for last week, Kenny, if memory serves me correctly, that I thought that Bryan and Gulak should form a team and that could have potential. So
both got our wishes.
Yes, I'm pleased that that has been the outcome of this storyline and that it has gone somewhere. So, you know, congratulations WWE on going from point A to point B create a storyline that actually follows a plotted path and doesn't just skip points, you know, actually add continuity. So well done.
So obviously, main event time, it is John Cena coming out and interviewing Michael Cole. Cole talks about how, you know, Bray Wyatt says that when he lost to Cena 6 years ago at WrestleMania, that changed him, that created The Fiend. Cena talks about how, you know, how do I answer someone who says that I caused their downward spiral? And he says that Wyatt got lazy, Bray's biggest enemy is Bray. He talks about all his lot. I can feel Finn's eyes rolling as I'm reading this out. He said, you know what, you know, he's lost big. Cena talks about his losses to RVD, CM Punk, The Rock, and he said, you know, the reason no one said John Cena's buried is because he got his ass back in the fight. I mean, who can deny that, Finn? He got his ass back in the fight. He rose from that mid-card spot of being taken down by part-timers that happen to him every year to rise back up and rise above the hate. What a pile of fucking shite.
Anyway, he just rises above everything, doesn't he, Cena? Oh. I mean, this is what he said. I've written some of this down, of course.
Go ahead.
Of course. So Cena says, how do I respond to somebody who blames their failure on me in reference to the Firefly Funhouse segment in which Bray Wyatt and, you know, Rambling Rabbit point out to Bray Wyatt that he's lost Cena 6 years ago, you know, sent his career and personal life all to hell. So Cena says, how do I respond to somebody who blames their failure on me? Multiple people, multiple times have said to my face, behind my back, on the internet, that I am the reason for their failure. You can just add Bray Wyatt to the list. Why did Bray Wyatt fall into a downward spiral 6 years ago after WrestleMania? He got lazy. He gave up and he blamed me. Bray Wyatt's biggest enemy is Bray Wyatt. It's the new Brett screwed Brett speech, Kenny.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Cena made a comment about the WWE locker room in general when he said, we've got way too many WWE superstars around here that'll tell you that they've wanted to do this their whole entire life. But when the demand gets too great, the work gets too heavy, they get lazy and they blame everybody else but themselves. I mean...
Is he on planet Earth?
I mean, he's got to be suffering from, you know, narcissistic personality disorder, hasn't he? He's just got to be. I mean, so self-righteous and prig. It's like this exercising self-aggrandizement. I mean, how sanctimonious can this man be?
This is the guy who came out 2 weeks ago to tell us that he was not going to be a part of WrestleMania because he was about the future, right?
Yeah.
And then someone had to say zero words to him and point to a sign, and he was like, okay, I'll be in a match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So he's telling us about how, you know, Velveteen Dream and Tommaso Ciampa and Matt Riddle and Rhea Ripley, they're the future. Well, if they're the future, then I'm not saying I get why he's there. Right? I get that John Cena's in a big match at WrestleMania. It's not my problem. My problem is that the story that you're trying to tell me, the viewer, is that John Cena is here to fight for us and fight against this lazy heel. But the problem is the heel is not lazy and is in fact... I get why people might not like Bray in the ring. I'm not even going to argue about it. I don't think he is that great in the ring, to be perfectly honest. But character-wise, this guy has reinvented himself, made himself a big star, massive merch seller, the opposite of lazy. You know, I think came out with an interview with Matt Hardy last week where he said that the reason that Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy got split up on TV, did you see this?
No.
The reason that they got split up on TV is because creative were sick of them suggesting ideas.
Yeah, I mean,
so where is the laziness? The problem is a lot of the fans who watch WWE now, rightly or wrongly, are people who read you know, observers or listen to Power Slam podcasts or read torches or you know, whatever they do, but they consume a lot of information about wrestling.
Sure. There's so many sites out there with so many stories each day. It's not all of which are true, of course, but some are.
Yeah, so you know enough to be fairly well educated about the wrestling industry or the goings on around it. So the biggest problem with Cena's story is that he's trying to shoot on us, but he's obviously not shooting like the right way. So it doesn't make any sense. And you know, he talks about how, you know, the future, and he wants to, you know, it's I mean, when he started talking about how, you know, this isn't going to be a match to steal the show. It's going to be physical, gruesome, and uncomfortable to watch. Then I kind of got into it. But you know, then he said, you know, I'm going to do what should have happened 6 years ago, ending the existence of the most overhyped, overvalued, overprivileged WWE superstar in existence.
I mean, was he talking about himself? You know, is he? What's he going to do?
As he stands there, looking like a giant Teletubby.
Oh, I mean, it's just so preachy and there's just not even a flicker of humour there.
And it's the like, thing is, see if you look at...
Like, comes across as so likeable. It's like he was obnoxious and browbeating, berating people in the locker room that are lesser stars than him.
Like, take a leaf out of Chris Jericho's book. How many times in the last 6 years has Chris Jericho changed his look, his character, you know, made big changes to stay relevant in wrestling? John Cena is standing looking the exact same way he did 11 years ago.
Yeah.
He has not changed his game. He has not improved his game. He is the same performer he was 11 years ago. So I mean, the problem is that if you're trying to get these people who watch a lot of wrestling and consume a lot of information involved in the story, you need to tell a more realistic one. And to be honest, the person who's putting more work into their WrestleMania feud right now is the fucking Undertaker.
Yeah.
Because at least he's talking about his wife and getting a bit angry about something. But this, John Cena, sanctimonious crap.
I mean, Undertaker is doing something different. You might not like it, but it is a different approach to a storyline. Absolutely.
And we always talk about, we like somebody to throw shit at the wall and try. Because then
take
we
some
can
chances.
Say it might not have worked, but we like the attempt.
Absolutely. I mean, I almost felt like this was a heel turn by Cena. He was just so unpleasant here, so unlikable. I mean, I've always known he is. I mean, you know, I've been up to this guy for well over a decade. And to me, it was all just laid bare here. Everything that I've ever been saying or writing about this guy was all on display for you here. His promo made no sense. You know, people tell, oh, Cena's one of the greatest promo guys ever. Well, he can provoke a reaction from the audience. I'll give him that. He knows how to pump up the crowd. There are a lot of things he does that do work, that do elicit a reaction from people and do provoke emotion. I absolutely get that. But oftentimes, if you break down what he says, you don't really make any sense. And all this was all pieces of, like, as if somebody had come up with, like, right, John, you're going to come up with all these different things. You're going to say all these different things. And we've had, like, five writers working on it, but none of those five writers talk to each other. And it's all just random sort of statements that don't mesh, that don't interlock. There was no consistency or continuity here. And also, I thought, really, the great tragedy, there was, at no point did he ever give Bray Wyatt credit for what he did last year. You know, there was no acknowledgement here of this reinvention and the level of imagination and work that went into this character. In fact, on the contrary, he was saying quite the reverse. So it made no sense at all. It was nonsensical.
The only part of his promo that made sense, what he should have said, what he should have done if he wanted to do this kind of promo, is he should have came out and put over Bray Wyatt for like a couple of minutes, right? And be like, you know, you came back and you were the biggest star in the company. And you had everything in the palm of your hand. You were taking out all the legends, and then you got complacent. And because you got complacent, you lost the title to Goldberg.
Yes.
And that reminds me of the lazy guy that you were 6 years ago. Or whatever. Bring it back to that. Make it about, you know, the laziness thing was from him years ago. Even though I don't necessarily agree with it, I can go with that a little bit. I can go with, you're putting over how good he is now, but then you're wanting to test him. Are you the Fiend? Are you the real new Bray Wyatt that you say that you are? Because when I saw you get beat by Goldberg, I saw the guy 6 years ago that didn't have it yet. And then you're building him up so that when he finally beats John Cena at WrestleMania, he proved he's not the lazy guy anymore. He's the guy who not only should have been able to beat Goldberg, but he's got his mojo back and he was able to beat John Cena. I'm sitting here in Scotland in a small room with hardly any heating, and I can come up with that. John Cena should be able to come up with it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's almost like they were banned from mentioning his loss to Goldberg. It's like, let's just forget that ever happened.
But isn't that ironic that they did two shoot promos in this show and they didn't use the most, like, money shoot thing that you could use?
Yeah. I mean, I thought Bray kind of saved it because he appeared in the audience and started applauding Cena. It was just there, just so sanctimonious about the whole thing, so serious and just like a robot, like a machine. His whole reactions. And it was just like, at no point, I mean, it's just like Cena to me was just like, hold on a minute, John. You've got this guy here who obviously his career went to hell in 2018. And he brought it back last year. And he was the talk of the industry. Why not just, as you mentioned, why not just acknowledge that? And if you acknowledge that, you kind of get us on your side. You know, but by not acknowledging that and saying that this guy's lazy, when he obviously isn't, people are just sat there thinking, well, what's the purpose of this? You know, what's the hook here? What's the selling point of this? The selling point of this is that John Cena's in a match. And it's really lazy writing, really lazy booking. Everything about it is just thrown together and not thought through at all. And as you just said, Ken, it's not difficult to come up with something here that works brilliantly and will really resonate with the audience. I thought Bray kind of saved it when he came in.
There was a great visual by, we heard Bray laughing and we turned, he's just sitting in the front row. That was great.
That was great. So, I mean, you know, once again, it was up to Bray Wyatt to try and save the day here. And I don't know whether he really did, but I mean, it was certainly a lot better when he started speaking because he was somebody who was sort of in touch with what's going on right now. Cena, to me, just came across as like an old guy who's totally out of touch, doesn't know what's going on. Like somebody who's just swanned in and not watched WWE programming for a year. That's what he came across here as. Somebody who just thought he could just bloody wing it.
Well, the irony as well is that, like, Wyatt's attempt, and, I mean, it's very hard to explain The Fiend because, you know, you're trying to bring a horror character into, like, the real world, but, like, I thought he did a decent job of going, you broke me, and I heard voices in my head, and I finally
you know, listened to them, and that created the Fiend. So he was giving us an explanation in the kayfabe world. The other thing that I wanted to mention was that, and I think this is worth doing if people have the time, if you go back and watch the CM Punk pipe bomb of 2011, or even the CM Punk John Cena contract signing of the week after, I think it was, or 2 weeks after, the reason that those segments were so great was because they were steeped in reality, and they brought you, you know, you were writing about it in PowerSlam. They were bringing you into things that you thought were really good on behind the scenes, elevating them and putting them on TV, and that's why those things worked. These shoot promos, you could see through them all as bullshit, so you weren't invested in any of it.
Absolutely right, yeah. Absolutely right. I mean, the real stars of those segments were not Cena. I mean, I thought Cena was awful in that feud. It was CM Punk and Vince McMahon, and those were the two guys who carried that, and they were tremendous, absolutely brilliant. And Cena's there just going on about how he's doesn't like Vince, and, you know, all this other type of thing. It's like, hold a minute, Cena, you're the face of the company. You're as corporate as it gets, and you're trying to come across as some sort of rebel. Well, no, you aren't. I mean, to me, the highlight of that, selling point of that, was Punk versus Vince. And, you know, Vince say, I can call you Phil, can I? Because you are a punk, you know, and things like that. And the contract signing, and that was really well done. Of course, they blew it when they had Punk return. I think it was years after the Money in the Bank event. He should have stayed away quite a few weeks in order for that to really work, I think, as a storyline. But the run-up to the Money in the Bank match, I thought, was tremendous due to Punk and Vince. And sadly, when he returned, it completely fell apart. Triple H was involved. Kevin Nash was involved. Obviously, Cena was involved. And yeah, but for a while there, they had something magical because people thought that it was real because there was so much realism in what they were saying. Whereas in this case, there was a little bit of realism in what Wyatt was saying, but really none at all in what Cena was saying. Like nothing, no part of that felt real to me. Anyway, we spent enough time talking about Cena, Kenny.
We have. Well, listen, we're going to cut it here. We're actually talking about Raw over on the Overrun, along with an old issue of PowerSlam. So, as I said at the beginning, I hope that if you are able to spare a little bit of cash, you know, for the price of a, you know, burger and chips at a restaurant, you get a month's worth of content from us. We hope that you...
you're not going to be able to buy that burger and chips from a restaurant right now.
Exactly. So you use that instead. If you are able to, it would really help us out. We'd be really appreciative. We will work for your content. We will produce content to work for your money. And we hope you're all taking care of yourself. Finn, any plugs for anyone right now?
No plugs at all, Kenny. Absolutely none. And I don't think you've got either, have you?
Nope. Just Patreon and YouTube if you want to get, you know... I guess the one plug would be Finlay Martin and Kenny MC1985 on Twitter. If there's some stuff that you would like to see us watch and cover in the next few weeks and months, let us know and we can try and figure some stuff out. But thank you for all the support and for understanding. But we will be here every week, no matter what.
Indeed, we will be. So, yeah, we hope we hope things aren't going to get much worse over the next week. And we'll be here next week. So we hope to communicate with you then.
Take care, everybody. If I be tonight, if I'm sad tonight.